Hi there, you're listening to the Estranged Heart Podcast, and I'm your host, Creed Revere. Welcome back to our returning listeners, and if this is your first time here, thank you for selecting this podcast to listen to. As we begin today's episode, I invite you to grab a cup of coffee or tea, settle in, and listen with an open heart. But first, the regular disclaimer. I am not a licensed therapist or counselor. Nothing within this podcast should be considered or taken as therapy. If you are in need of therapeutic support, such as counseling, please seek out a therapist near you. Today is the fourth part of a four-part series for the interview with this estranged adult daughter. If you've not listened to parts 1, 2, and 3, I would highly encourage you to go back and listen to those. We'll give you context, and there's just a wealth of information and learning and understanding that can happen within those specific episodes. I want to thank this guest again for her courage and her bravery, her honesty, her authenticity in showing up and trying to further her healing process, as well as helping this audience to understand another one of the complex layers of estrangement. Thank you for being who you are and for being willing to share your story here on The Estranged Heart. Keep doing you. Keep evolving and growing and learning and processing. Thank you for being open and honest about your love for your mom, your care for your mom, and the broken heart that you have as a result of the broken relationship with your mom and the years that led up to that. So I hope my audience will sit and listen to this today again with an open heart, and that you find several takeaway nuggets from this interview with this estranged adult daughter.
And like my anxiety, you know, I can see now. So I would just deny this anxiety, right? Because I associated anxiety with the way that I saw it present in my mother, which was in a way debilitating.
Right.
And in many chapters of her life. But my anxiety is high functioning. So, but I didn't understand that, because I just, I just refused to look and deal with any of this. I was just like, I will bury this. I will soldier on, and this will be fine. But when you said that thing about being exhausted, I used to say that to my husband all the time. I'm like, it is exhausting being me. It is. Yes. The way that my mind works, it's exhausting. So I kind of lost track a little bit there, but yeah, that was one of my survival things, is like, if I look strong on the outside, and the military played a huge part in that too. Like once I got into that and I realized, oh my gosh, like the way that it works with like ranks and respect. And I felt like, you know, because people salute, you know, the uniform and the rank and stuff, and I'm like, and it just gave me this like feeling of like, well, maybe I can get my worth from this. Maybe this is how I'll feel valuable and worthy. But it didn't heal that there's this like 10-year-old broken child in there that feels unloved, unworthy, constantly doubts herself. And there are so many people that would be surprised to hear this, I think, me say these things out loud. But yet the people who are in my close circle, they see it. My husband absolutely knows what I go through and how insecure and how I feel about myself and how hard I have to work to love myself and to trust myself and believe in myself.
Right. Yeah. This is the outcome of trauma, childhood traumas. And so when I'm working with parents who question, you know, and sort kind of circling back to the comment that you made about, well, we provided your college education. We took you on vacations. I hear that 9 times out of 10, the parents and the adult children that I work with are not, for the most part, they're not coming to me from having lived a life of physical abuse and you know, significant, those types of significant issues within the family structure, they're coming from, hey, I gave them this and that and the other thing, and they, I took them here and we went there and we did all these things.
Yeah.
And I always say, you provided the things, but what about the feelings? Right. And that is what I hear from every adult child is, my feelings were not acknowledged. My feelings were not taken into account, were not a part of the equation in any way, shape, or form. It was all about this production of things, of showing up and having this look, this presentation to the world, that we are all good because, as you said, we have the nice house and we got, you know, we're in private school and we're doing all these things. How dare you as a child come in and say, I was in a quote unquote abusive parent. And again, we're talking about the emotional piece, the feelings piece. We're not talking about generally the physical side of things. And it has a significant impact on children. Significant.
So my therapist always has to tell me, because as soon as I have a good memory, I'll start talking myself out of, you know, well, you're just being ungrateful. You know, you just need to move on. But my therapist says, it sounds so simple, but both things can be true. You can have a good memory of a holiday and there being a nice meal and music and presents and a tree. And you can also have a memory of your, the fighting in your house and what that did to you. And you can have a memory of your mom not getting out of bed. You, all these things can exist together at the same time, and they can be true.
Yes.
And I'll say too, that like in adult life, like one of the things that was just so hard, you know, towards the end is like, I've just always felt like my mom, like never truly like had an interest in me, like me, like who am I? Like, and this would like show up in little ways. Like when we would talk, she just showed very little interest in me outside of me being a mother to her grandchildren, which is a big role and a big hat that I wore, but I have interests and hobbies.
Right.
I have, you know, passions, I have dreams, I have hope. There was, she just showed zero interest in my life from the earliest time. And that just really does not do anything to build a relationship. And it felt, you know, in adult life, like all I did was give her like, you know, a report on what my kids ate the last 24 hours or what they're doing.
Right.
Because I, as I mentioned before, like I figured out the one way to have, you know, make my mom happy is my kids. And so I just became this conduit of like, you know, she'd be like, what they do today, da, da, da. And I'm, you know, and I would feed, I'm fine. That's fine. I love them too. I love to talk about them, but there was just nothing. She just never showed an interest in me. And it felt like, especially like when I was going through like the stages of really trying to like, you know, find myself, like, you know, dressing weird, wearing weird clothes. And like, it's almost like she was like ashamed of me. And then when I finally like showed up with this, like, you know, handsome husband who went to the Naval Academy, and like, I gave her these things, right? That she could
Status.
Like this, that would like give her like things that she could talk about. But like, you know, when I was like, you know, getting a tattoo, or when I was, I don't know, you know, whatever, like there was just no interest. And then, you know, one of the stories that sticks out, like, and I've mentioned this before, this is a weird one, but just to paint a picture of like kind of what my interactions would look like with my mom, like in high school. So I didn't have like boyfriends, you know, I was off, you know, doing things, but, you know, I'm straight. I've always been straight. But I wasn't showing up with boys. So my mom turned to me one day. I mean, the things that she would kind of like talk to me about, it was, she looked at me and she said, "What are you? One of those lesbians?" There was always this like shame in parenting. It was always in the looks. Either her arms would be crossed, her eyes would be dismissive and un, you know, you could look at her and tell how you made her feel. And I just had feelings of not her not liking me not being enough, me not being the right kind of daughter. Like she wanted something different and someone like a ballerina who played the piano, and I didn't turn out that way. And so she just was not happy with who I was as a girl, as a young woman. And I felt very ashamed. There was a lot of shame in my upbringing. And that word would literally be used. The phrase would be, you should be ashamed of yourself. And so I felt that. And I took that in. And I grew up just feeling all this shame for being who I was. So I don't know. I just say that little interaction because those are the kinds of things that just like imprinted on me, like these memories that I have, and that she probably wouldn't remember that, or if she did, she wouldn't say that, you know, because that's really uncomfortable. And my mom cannot deal with any of this. She cannot deal with any of this. But when you talk about having a healthy, secure, you know, relationship with your mom and communication and stuff, and those things aren't part of it. And I shared like the most hurtful story, and I guess I will share it now. And I will say that she did apologize for this. I will say that. But you know, unfortunately, these things just really, really imprint on you. So she was visiting me when my husband was deployed, and I had a toddler. I was active duty, and I was pregnant with my second child. A lot going on. And now I can look back, and I did not handle stress and anxiety well. I was not good. And my mom probably should not have been the person coming in to help me during that time, because our relationship was so fragile. It could go off the rail like that, right? So probably not the best person. If I could go back, I probably would have just hired outside help. So we got into a fight, and these fights would just be like, they were little things. They were like boundary crossing things where I was constantly trying, like I told you, like either not following what I wanted to happen with my child, or changing the thermostat, or just silly stuff. It would trigger this deep thing in me of like, here I go again, not being seen, not being respected. Like, I don't feel human in my mom's eyes. And we hit this, had this big fight. And for the first time ever, there are very few times that I stuck up to my mom. And as strong as I am, I was always scared of her, not scared of her like physically, but scared of her withdrawing love, because her love just felt so conditional. So this is one of the first times that I've ever really stuck up for myself. So we had this big fight, and I asked her to leave. Like I said, you need to leave. And, you know, we went online and did the plane ticket. And this was like, you know, I would, in her eyes and probably in her circles, like the worst thing that a daughter could do. I mean, deep, deep disrespect. You know, your mom comes down to help you, and you send her home, you know. And, you know, in her eyes, I'm the problem. I'm the reason we're fighting. It's all me. If I could just be different, if I could just be more patient, more tolerant, all these things that I've always been told, if I could just be more, my mom and I would have a good relationship. So, she's getting ready to leave that morning. And this is in April. That January, I had confided in her. I was having a really hard time. Again, couldn't figure out why I'm just having such a hard time in life. Everything is so hard. Walking through life in quicksand, basically, trying to survive. And I was pregnant. I had confided in her, you know, if I wasn't pregnant, I would consider taking medication, like something for like anxiety or depression, because I'd never taken, you know, medication. And I had confided in her. And you know, I went on. I didn't take anything. And so that morning, she's getting to re leave. A taxi's coming to bring her to the airport after I had asked her to leave. And she stands in front of me, and she goes. She had gone on this rant of telling. This is what she'll do. She'll tell me who doesn't like me. She'll start listing off her friends. So and so doesn't like you. So and so can't believe what you've done to me. And then she would bring my stepfather into it. He doesn't want anything to do with you. She would always pile him in, even though he wasn't present. So, you know, I'm sitting here just getting, it's like she is so hurt by what I did, understandably, but her response is to like go for the jugular. And that's like a pattern in our family. We compete on who can hurt. I mean, the things that we have all said to each other, it's been so normalized and so desensitized. You can say the most painful and awful things, but that's been a part of my whole life that it's like you don't even bat an eyelash at this stuff anymore. So she's getting ready to leave and she looks at me after she's listing off people who don't like me. And then she says, "What's wrong with you?" And she says this in such a cruel way. And she looks at me and she starts doing the crazy symbol in front of her head. And she said, "You said it yourself. There's something wrong with you. You need medication."
Goodness.
And my God, that till the day I die, I'm sorry. I wish I could undo that memory. It's one of the most painful things because I just stood there looking at her and thinking, "Are you my mother? I've never even had an enemy be this way to me. Like, how are you my mother? My mother, the person who's supposed to
Right.
love me and hug me and see what I need right now, pregnant with my husband deployed and trying to make it through work and survive with all my unresolved trauma that I've never been given any space to deal with. How can you be so cruel? Like, what, where are your motherly qualities? Like, do you even love me? Like, oh God." And she has apologized for that, but then I don't, it's hard for me to move on from it because, like, it literally changes how it imprints on your
Yes.
brain. It changes how you think, how you view the world, how you look at your mother when you
Right.
realize that your mother could be so cruel to you.
That's so painful. That is unbelievably painful.
You know, and I'm not like, I have done cruel things. I have said cruel things. It's not like I'm just moving through the world like a saint and.
Right.
But I know what I've done. And I know why I've done these things. And I know that so many of my things were trauma responses. The way that I would lash out, I was constantly in fight mode with her because that was how I tried to survive. If I could just yell over her, maybe she'll hear me this time. If I just say it this way, maybe she'll get it. Maybe she'll get it. And it was exhausting. That's not a relationship.
No, it's not. It's not. Oh my goodness. I want to thank you for sharing these. I mean, and reliving these painful memories. These are things that will be with you probably for the remainder of your life. And I know that you're doing a ton of personal work in trying to heal yourself, trying to overcome the traumas, be able to be and show up as a very different type of mom for your children, and those types of things. And I understand, and I know, and I think, let's circle back around because you understand a lot of why your mom is doing the things that she's done or hasn't done, the things that she hasn't done. You understand the reasons for that. It doesn't change the need and the desire that you have as a child of your mother's, right? It all of those things do not change that.
I mean, and I feel like I have to say this, like, my mom is not an awful person, right? My mom has many positive qualities. She has wonderful friendships. She was very playful and loving towards my children. So I'm not, it's not like my mom is like, this awful person, but the two of us don't work, or we didn't work. And I have days where, I told you there's days where I have anger, but there's days where I just have deep sadness for my mom because I do believe something happened to her. She alluded to it once, but I didn't go digging because I do not want to be her therapist. But I think something, I don't know if I mentioned this already, but there's like a book. It's not What's Wrong With You. The question is, what happened to you? Right? And I think something happened to my mom. I think she's had some things happen. But she it's hard for me to see her trapped. It's like she's trapped in this body and this life. And I know there's a different way she could move through life. There's a different way that she could be. But she has to be the one who decides that she's
Right.
going to roll up her sleeves, get into therapy. If it takes two therapists, three therapists, finding the one she clicks with and doing the work on herself. Because I want my mom to heal. I have hated watching my mom be like this my entire life. It's painful. I want my mom to be happy. I want her to be whole. I want her to be healed. I want her to do it for herself, not for me. There's such a better way to go through life. I wasted 42 years, but it's never too late. You know, she's going to be
Right.
70. If she did this, you know, the next 20 years could be so different. She could experience so many different things. But I can't make her do these. So then it's like,
Right.
what do I do? You know, you asked me, you know, you get questions from parents about they've been doing the work, you know, and how do they let their children know that they've been doing the work? And I told you that my circumstances are a little bit different because I literally said, I'm here willing to receive communication from you that you have done the work. I just need you to go to some therapy. And we're 2 years into this. I have no letter. I have no communication. I have nothing. And again, there are days that it hurts so bad because it's like, this is just one thing you could do, Mom. This is just one thing. Like, do you want to show me you love me? Like, can you do this? But
Am I worth it?
am I worth it? Right? So this is where my deep feelings of like self-loathing and hate come from. It's like for 2 years, they're sitting over there digging in, still playing this game of power. Well, I'm not going to have her tell me what to do. Disrespectful, ungrateful child. It's like they're still playing this game, and I decided I don't want to play that anymore. And I want to heal. And I can't help but think the reason that she's not doing this is out of vengeance and spite, because my mom has shown to be very spiteful and vengeful with me, because she does not like for me to question her parenting, to bring up these things, because I get it. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. It sucks. It hurts. So she ends up being very spiteful and vengeful with me. So it feels like she's just over there refusing to do this purely out of spite, because it was my idea, because it was my ask, because it was my request. But when they continue to do that, it's hard for me to fight the narrative of like, I'm not worthy. I don't even get to have any needs. I don't get to have any wants in this relationship. I just have to take whatever cookie crumbles they give me. So I'm at a crossroads, definitely, with my therapist, like trying to figure out what to do.
So that was my next question is, so at the end of here, where do you see this going? Where do you want it to go? What if she never goes to therapy?
You
What
know.
does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I guess I was hopeful that she would do this. Like, 'cause I told myself she loves me. She loves my grand the grandkids enough, she'll do this. But again, we're 2 years into this and I haven't heard anything about her doing this inner work and this healing work. So yeah, like I guess, you know, I'm trying to process the fact that this may never happen, that she likely, I don't know what to say, like likely will never do it. I don't know, like I don't want to speak in absolutes, but like I probably was expecting too much, asking too much from somebody who's not capable of these things. And so where does that leave me, right? And so the thing that I contemplate is like, if one person does the healing, can I go back into the relationship and somehow could it be different, even though she's the same, but I'm different? But I would get so triggered, right, by the things, the comments, the things, right? And I would just, you know, blow up. And the question is, I don't know if how healed I am, right? Because I have
Right.
basically built this bubble around myself. I have taken out the stressors, and I've created this really kind of nice, safe, peaceful environment for myself to do this work. I'm off the battlefield. And it's like, if I go back, are my trauma responses gone? Will I still have them? Am I better at managing them? Do I have these coping skills? And it's like I'm almost scared to go back out into the world and figure these things out because it's been so healing to just like have this nervous system that's like at peace and not constantly just like just these highs and lows and highs and lows. That kills you. It breaks you. It breaks you down. But then I say too, like, if I go back into this relationship and my mom is my mom and she's kind of decided that, this healing work and this stuff is not for her, well, what am I getting out of the relationship? Right? Like, well, I'm still going back into a relationship where the things that I were problematic before, where I didn't feel validated, I didn't feel seen, I didn't feel like I was allowed to have needs, those would still be there. So it's not like I'm going to go back in this relationship and have this mom and we're going and getting, pedicures and doing wine weekends. That's not in the cards for us. So what would I go back for? I don't want to like kid myself and go back as this little girl, just hoping, 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 hoping that mom's gonna, family meet her needs and show up that the way that she's needed her to show up. Because that's not healthy either.
Correct.
And I'm very confused about what to do now. And I'm glad I have a therapist because I will say that I envision that I do reconnect with her somehow. I would have to have, be if she is the same person who I left, I'm not the same person I was 2 years ago. I will never be the same person I was. I don't really know who she is after these 2 years, but if she's the same person that she was, oh, sorry, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying there?
Talking about going back into relationship with her, which you envisioned that probably happening, but you're as a diff you're a different person.
I would think I would have to have like strong boundaries, right? But she doesn't do well with boundaries. It's taken as a offense. Infraction, on my part. So that would be hard. It'd be hard to kind of stay firm on those boundaries. I would probably always stay at kind of like a low contact posture because until my mom kind of exhibits that she's like a safe person for me, I can't treat her as such. I can't, And it's interesting if you want to real quick just touch on my father. So my father was absent from my life for a long time. So he did go on to remarry someone who had four young children. And it's just you just kind of start to live separate lives and your lives go separate ways. I had this new man in my life, my stepfather, again, who was a wonderful person to come into my life and took me on like his own. My dad kind of starts this different life. And so, we don't really have a connection. I always knew where he was. There would be some touch points as I was, growing up, graduating high school, college, going in the military. But about 10 years ago, he reached out and kind of started to plant the seed and show interest that he was interested in reconnecting with me and having a relationship. And, I was guarded and, it's almost like you don't really know the person at this point. It's like, well, who are we now? I'm an adult, you're retired and aging. So but I will say that like over the last decade, like my father has slowly gained a rapport with me, and it's turned into this really nice relationship now. Like he has shown me that I can trust him, that he can be a safe person. But it's taken time, and we both had to kind of, make steps for that. But he really showed me that I can trust him. And when I say trust, it's that emotional trust, right? That like, and like one of the things he said to me I tested the waters because it was so hard for me to bring up this stuff of like, Dad, do you know what my brother and I went through? You know? But he listened. He actually listened and really took it all in and held that space for me, like all the things that you say. And he took responsibility, he took accountability. He even one day called me back after we had this long talk and he said, you know, I'll go to therapy with you. Do you want me to go to therapy with you? And I said, like he was excited, you know? And I said, no, Dad, I'm okay. But I just the fact that you said that, like you have no idea what that means to me. Like he has become somewhere where I could tell, I've gone back to him and said, Dad, I had this memory and I want to tell you this memory. And I'll tell him. And he doesn't get mad. He doesn't get defensive. He doesn't minimize me. He says, wow, yeah, that was hard. I can see that now. You know, and that's how you build trust. And that's why if you asked me 15 years ago if my dad was going to be this person in my life, I would have said no. No. I would have predicted that my stepdad would have been that because he was for a long time. But you know, it is beautiful kind of where things have gotten with my father, but I was telling my father the other day, like, you know, my goal would be to make peace with all of you. Like, I don't want to have to be like, I'm good with one parent, but not the other, you know? And it's kind of always been that way my whole life. Either I'm in contact with my mom and not my father, but I would love for my mom, my dad, and my stepdad, I would love to make peace with that. That is what I'd want. So I'm trying to figure out how to get there. Can I carry that all on my shoulders? Can I lead that? Am I strong enough?
And do you want to?
Feel
And
like I'm.
there may be that both and
Yeah.
as opposed to the either or, right? There may be, yeah, there's a part of me that wants to, and there's a part of me that doesn't or is scared to, right?
I'm scared.
Because I've taken the risk before, and
Yeah. And I feel like I'm in
I
such a
get
good
that.
place now, and I'm like I finally have like prioritized myself and my own mental health, and I'm taking it seriously. So I'm so scared to jeopardize that because I'm like so happy in a lot of ways with where I am. I miss having a mom. That hurts. My mother wound is huge, but I am also so happy and proud of where I am, and I'm so protective of it. So I'm so scared to go back into a situation that could possibly undo all this work and this progress. And again, at the core of all this is my children and my kids and what they need and how they need me to be. So I'm so scared that if I, it's almost like relapsing, right? Like if I go back to this relationship with my mom and then I just become that 15-year-old angry version of myself that pops off and takes 3 days to get her emotions regulated again. And like, I don't want to be that. I hated that person. I hate that person. But the person who triggered that in me, can I go back and somehow, like, with this armor? But then if you have to wear armor in a relationship, what's the point, right? And I just go in this circle. I get stuck in
Well,
that.
I will tell you, this is kind of what I've done in my own relationship with my mom. I talk about it on the show that I've done the work. My mom hasn't, to my knowledge, my daughters have not, kind of thing. But yet our relationships are all different now because of the work that I've done. However, I get what you're talking about. Do I risk this? Am I in a, do I feel strong enough to be able to hold my boundaries, to be able to step back if I need to step back, do, and then handle also the disappointment that comes with that, if that is needed, this stepping back. And I can tell you with, for me, and what I generally see with those who are doing their work, doing the inner work, doing the healing work of all the trauma in their life. And that varies on the length of time, right? For some, it can happen quickly. For others, it takes much longer. For me, it has taken me about took me about a good five years in therapy, I'm not gonna lie,
Okay.
for me to get to the place where I have a great relationship with my mom now. And I tell her more than I thought I would ever be able to tell her. And there are times when she does show up for me, and there are times when she doesn't, right? And those times that she doesn't, what I do for myself is I'm able to hold the space for me that I need in order to process through that grief for that event or that occasion that she was not able to do that for me. She wasn't able to show up for me. So again, everyone's different. For some people, they can do that. Other people, they cannot. And there's no right or wrong way. It's what works for you. And the important piece here that I want to also drive home is you have to show up for your children.
Yeah, I know. That's the
And the
biggest thing I've
best
learned in
way
there.
to do that is to do what is best for your mental health,
I know that.
right?
I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's where you break the cycle. That's where you stop repeating the unhealthy behaviors and all of that. And the getting out of survival mode, it helps you in your relationship with your husband. It helps you in your relationship with your children. And most importantly, it helps you in your relationship with self.
Yeah. And it's I think I told you, it's like I'm just figuring out who I am at 42 years. I'm 44 now, but you know, the estrangement started at 42. It's like I am just discovering who I am and then learning to love that person. And because I couldn't figure out who I was. I was my mother's daughter. And I couldn't figure out who I was outside of that relationship. And I didn't feel comfortable figuring out who I was. Because I just didn't feel like I was allowed to just let it all hang out and I would be loved, you know? And so, like, this again sounds like kind of silly, but like when you talk about like the inner child, it's like that deep belly laugh is like your inner, when you have those hearty, hearty laughs, right? Or when I climb to the top of a mountain, like I hike a lot and I just look around. I am experiencing things in a way that I didn't before. Like, I am taking in, I'm gonna cry when I think about this. Like, there is so much beauty and joy out there. And I was missing all of it. I was missing all of it. I was so just stuck in this miserable cycle. And I was just in this very dysfunctional relationship that I was trying so hard to figure out. And I was dying inside trying to figure it out, and having these moments of looking at a sky like in the sunset, or standing on the top of a mountain, or going to a concert. I mean, I am feeling things and feeling joy as I'm crying to you in a way that I have never experienced before, and it's just been so healing and wonderful, and there's just so much joy to be had in life, and I was missing it. And my kids were not getting the best of me. They weren't. And I'm laughing. I'm laughing. I'm being goofy. I'm being silly. Like, it's so fun being out of the military because I can be such a goofball and I don't have to worry about, you know, like we have dance parties and with my kids and just, I do silly things all the time. And like, I love figuring out that that's who I am and loving that part of myself. And I feel very late. I get mad that it took me this long to figure it out, but it's been so healing and so wonderful.
Well, you have figured it out much sooner than I did. So you get an opportunity to share that with your children. My children did not get the best of me, and I hope that they're seeing it now, because I'm experiencing much like you. I actually catch myself laughing now when I have a good belly laugh.
Yeah.
There's a piece of me that actually stops and thinks, I'm actually like
Like
belly
really
laughing.
laughing. Yeah.
Like,
Just like
and
uninhibited, no one's watching,
Yeah,
but
and
laughing.
it's shocking
Yeah,
to a
right?
part of me that's like, is
It's almost
this really me?
uncomfortable. Yeah.
Exactly. So I get you, and I cannot commend you enough for having, even if it came out of sheer desperation,
Yeah,
you
I
still had the courage, because you could have chosen not to, right? You could have chosen not to, but you had the courage to step into this healing process, which is painful. It brings up the stuff. It brings up the ugly parts and pieces of our lives, but you have stayed with it, and you've processed through it, and you're coming out on the other side of it, and you're reaping those rewards that will come one by one, time after time, and over time, right? And that is, it cannot be overstated how important that is. And I commend you for taking such a brave step. It really is a act of bravery, I feel. That's my personal
You
opinion.
know,
And I know
I
that
just
our,
hit my enough point, and you don't know when
yeah.
it's going to happen, where or why it's going to happen, but I was just so sick of myself. I was so
Yeah.
sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Sick and tired of being sick
But
and tired.
everybody has to get to that point on their own, and I hope that the parents understand that, you know, the things that you say, this is not about punishment, this is not about
Right.
vengeance, revenge. Like, estrangement is so different. It is, it for me, it was an act of desperation and self-preservation. I was in a very, very dark place, and I needed it. I needed it to survive. And I'm so when I hear like parents who are doing this kind of work, I even when you mention parents who are doing the work and then they're like confused about how to get word to their, you know, adult children, I'm so It's so ex nice to hear that, but then I also get so jealous that there's parents out there, you know, that are like trying like so hard to you know, model this and lead the relationship back to a healthy place. I'm just really happy that those parents are out there and that they're having these like moments, these light bulb moments, but I'm also jealous. You know, it's complicated emotions with that, but
Yep, there goes that and again, right?
yeah.
You can be happy for them and sad for yourself that it's not happening for you, kind of
Yeah.
thing. So, well, I again thank you immensely for your time today and helping us to understand a little more of another layer of estrangement and you sharing your story. Thanks so much for being courageous enough to come on here and share a piece of you with us.
Well, thank you. You're very easy to talk to. I don't even feel like I'm, you know, doing a thing, but
You've done a really big thing. So thank you. Thank you so much.
This brings this episode to a close. I hope that this time together was time you feel well spent, and that you are able to find some takeaway nuggets to help you on your journey, wherever you may be on your estrangement and reconciliation path. If you feel you've received something helpful or positive from this podcast, please consider following us, sharing this podcast with others, leaving a positive review, perhaps entertaining becoming a guest on our show, or following us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok under the same name, The Estranged Heart. As a reminder, there is an online support group on Facebook. If you are a estranged mom who identifies as being spiritual and approaches estrangement with a sense of curiosity rather than blame and judgment and desire to do inner self-work and reflection, please seek us out. We can be found at facebook.com/estrangedmothers support group. And lastly, if you are an estranged parent or an estranged adult child and would like to have your story shared on the podcast, anonymously or not, please reach out to me via email at theestrangedheart@gmail.com.